Welcome to this audio introduction to Christmas Day by Sam Grabiner, directed by James MacDonald. The audio described performance at the Almeida Theatre is on Saturday the 3rd of January at 2 p.m. with a touch tour at 12 p.m. The production lasts for approximately 1 hour and 50 minutes without interval and will be audio described by Jenny Stewart Cosgrove and Miranda Yates. The Almeida website tells us, in an abandoned building somewhere above the Northern Line, with foxes prowling the deserted streets outside, a Jewish family gathers on Christmas Day. A vicious, funny new play about identity, belonging, and the ritual we perform with the people we love. The action unfolds in a single location, a large room within a disused building that's now operating as a guardianship tenancy. The room's about 10 metres wide and 5 metres deep, with the walls rising to about 7 metres in height. It has the atmosphere of a repurposed plant room in an old warehouse or factory, evidenced by numerous ad hoc additions to the interior. The brickwork of the back wall is painted a grimy off-white with patchy and peeling paintwork. Across the wall is an abundance of trunking, fuse boxes and meters. The ceiling above is covered by a metal framework of polystyrene ceiling tiles, with several missing, exposing dense and tangled wiring. Harsh fluorescent light spills through a series of square metal grills dotted across the ceiling tiles, and a single pendant lamp on a metal chain hangs centrally towards the front. The sides of the room are boxed in on two levels by plywood walls painted in a patchy mix of pale blue and grey. The upper walls have opaque glass windows, with a few missing windows replaced by panels of chipboard. On the lower level, to the left, there's an orange-painted door which opens into a small lobby area. In the world of the play, characters pass through this lobby when heading out into the street. This lobby also connects to the public foyer via a dock door and serves as an additional way for the audience to access their seats in the stalls by heading through another door that leads into the auditorium. Opposite the orange door on the right is another door painted green. This leads to other unseen rooms in the building. Each door is paired with a thick shatterproof window. The wire mesh embedded in the glass offers a blurry view of movement beyond. Just inside the green door is a 6-foot Christmas tree decorated with colourful fairy lights and a star at the top. In front of the two doors on either side, a broad section of floor is covered by scuffed green carpet tiles. Exposed underneath and covering the main central floor is a series of large grey floor panels. Some loose panels reveal the concrete floor beneath. A staircase at the back on the right is boxed in by more plywood, with a window running up alongside that gives a view of the heads of those using it. At the bottom is a door painted in salmon pink, with two steps down into the room. Junk is piled up in the alcove underneath the staircase in the back right corner. High across the width of the room is a broad steel beam painted a pale grey. A large box-shaped metal heater with a slatted grill is chained to the beam to hang down on the left, at a height almost reachable by a tall adult. There's also a line of coloured lights wrapped around the beam that's plugged into a long extension cable. At the centre of the room is an oval office table, large enough for 8 people to sit around in the mismatched office chairs that are lying about. In the back left corner is a very full coat stand. Further back against the back wall, a broad industrial broom rests next to an ageing golf bag with a couple of clubs inside it. Next to it is a battered white fridge freezer with postcards and magnets on the front. A microwave is perched on top, near a cereal box, a plastic lion toy, and a small portable stereo. To the right of the fridge is an industrial frame with 2 metal sinks. Above the sink is a small hot water heater and a soap dispenser. Further to the right is an office desk with a black angle poised lamp. Its drawers are later revealed to be full of cutlery, crockery, and candles. There's a cast of 6 white actors, 4 men and 2 women. The story unfolds around a Jewish family gathering for Christmas Day at the place where the 2 siblings, Noah and Tamara, live. Elliot is in his early 60s with thinning dark grey hair and light grey beard. Father to Noah and Tamara, he wears the responsibility heavy, taking in their living quarters with a sneer on his lip and a wrinkle in his nose, his blue eyes widening with disbelief as he explores the room. Mid-height and stocky, Elliot's dressed for the festive occasion in a navy blue Christmas jumper with a grey snowflake design across the shoulders, sitting above a line of white polar bears across his chest. He teams this with navy blue chinos and 2-tone brown and navy leather trainers. When we first meet him, his clothes are covered by a shin-length navy wool coat and a long scarf striped in different blues is wound around his neck. Elliot appears relaxed and confident in himself. He sits with legs spread, leaning back in his chair, with an air of impassive authority, only occasionally rubbing his hands over his eyes and brow with frustration. Noah is a mid-height skinny man in his late 20s with an unruly mop of black curly hair covering his ears and lapping at his collar. His face is pale and he has deep-set brown eyes and a 5 o'clock shadow dusting his top lip and chin, giving him an unkempt look. He's dressed in very baggy chocolate brown corduroys, which skim the floor beneath his brown leather shoes. He tops his outfit with a loose-fitting pink t-shirt, worn under an open brown and rust-checked shirt, and finished with a threadbare faded navy canvas worker's jacket. Noah is seemingly relaxed and confident, but his hunched shoulders, folded arms, and inability to sit or stand still for very long betray his unease. Tamara is Noah's sister, a petite woman in her mid-twenties with long brown hair worn loose in a centre parting and framing a round expressive face. Two gold hoops dangle at her lobes, and two gold chains hang around her slender neck. Her large brown eyes watch others with an earnest sincerity or barely concealed annoyance, and she flits from one to the other with regularity and ease. She's dressed in high-waisted mud-brown wide-legged trousers, the hems of which gather in folds over her brown and blue New Balance trainers. She tops these with a tight-fitting white cotton vest under a cornflower blue short-sleeved blouse worn open, scalloped at the hem, and ruched with a drawstring at the sides. Tamara carries herself with a studied poise, sitting upright and straight-backed as though trying to contain a tense, frenetic energy that on occasion bursts forth, accompanied by expansive gestures, fingers splayed or gripping the edge of the table. Maud is Noah's girlfriend, a slim woman in her mid-twenties with blue eyes and a sweet smile. Her blonde hair is parted in the centre and plaited into two bunches on either side of her head, the bottom of each plait resting on her narrow shoulders. Maud is dressed in light blue denim dungarees, which fit her snugly, and are turned up at the ankle just above her brown suede trainers, which have bright blue laces. Under the dungarees, her tie-dyed top is long-sleeved and tight-fitting in earthy tones of green, yellow and brown. She has a simple gold necklace and matching small earrings. Maud appears composed and serene, gently nodding encouragement during conversations at the table. In moments of awkward silence, she plasters a joyful smile on her face as she flounders in the chaos around her. Jack, also referred to as Aaron, is Noah's friend. They were at university together. He's tall, polished, and well-built, with a healthy tan. His deep brown hair is cut short, the waves pushed back from his chiseled features. A dark trace of stubble dots his chin. He has intelligent brown eyes and a knowing smile that borders on the arrogant. Jack looks smart in tan chinos, worn with beige trainers and topped with a cream t-shirt worn under a tangerine quilted gilet and fawn canvas jacket. A gold chain hangs around his neck. He's at ease in his surroundings, sitting back in his chair, his hands casually resting on the table as he banters with his old friend, or sitting forward in his chair, holding his palms up flat in a placatory way as tension simmers. We also meet Ren, Sphinx and Felix, played by the same sturdy-framed actor in his 20s. All three have collar-length frizzy brown hair that halos around their blue-eyed, squishy-featured face. Ren shambles in a daze, a glazed look in his eye, his lips spread in a manic, fixed smile, dressed only in his beige cotton boxer shorts and a mustard-yellow t-shirt. His hair is held back with a thick band of his black over-ear headphones. Sphinx pads in with a moss-green beanie hat pulled on his head and a homespun jumper of multicoloured threads worn with green combat trousers and black boots. His lo-fi energy has a hippie vibe, and his pace is unrushed and mellow. Felix is dressed head-to-toe in black, joggers, trainers, and a knee-length puffer coat that he wears with the hood pulled up so that his face peeps out like a pale mask from a dark abyss. Cast and production credits. Elliot is played by Nigel Lindsay. Noah is played by Samuel Blenkin. Maud is played by Callie Cook. Tamara is played by Belle Powley. Aaron is played by Jacob Fortune Lloyd. Ren, Sphinx and Felix are played by Jamie Ankara. The set designer is Miriam Buther. The costume designer is Evie Gurney. The The lighting designer is John Clark. The sound designer is Max Pappenheim. The intimacy director is Lucy Hind. The associate director is Sophia Golan. The writer is Sam Grabiner, and the director is James MacDonald. This is the end of the introduction to Christmas Day at the Almeida Theatre. If you have any questions or need further assistance, please contact the box office on 020 7359 4404.